points. Chris Dolme with a monumental effort here at Hisense Arena.
Leagues in the world outside the NBA. Hashtag see incredible. Hashtag see incredible.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the NBL News Podcast. Joined by Aiden again.
How's it going, everyone? How are we doing?
Lots of news, lots of good news, lots of bad news in the past week. NBL Cup finished up. I don't think we've seen as many signings and sackings midway through a season as there was this week. But we'll start off with the news you probably don't want to hear. This week was Mitch Creek. Obviously, he was charged with assault. We're not going to get into too much detail, obviously, because we don't know too much. If you want to read more about it, just there's an article on The Age. The NBL's released a statement if you want to know. But honestly, it's not something we should be talking about. But we should talk about it from a basketball perspective and how it affects the Phoenix. Obviously, he will not be playing or training with the team until his court hearing at least on April 1st. After that, not sure what will happen. But big loss, the heart and soul of that team. Aiden, I mean, what does this mean for the Phoenix?
Well, I don't think it's a huge loss. Like, it's a big loss, obviously. But I feel like the way that Keith Sykes has been out, who else has been out during that time? Gibbo.
Dane Pinu.
Yep. They can now try Ben Moore at the four and see how that works and have, who knows. But it is a huge loss in rotation-wise. But we've seen over the last month that Phoenix can step up when players are missing.
They got a lot of depth. Lucky Phoenix have had a lot of depth this season. I mean, Liaifa, DP, he's proven that he's definitely capable of being a main roster guy in the league. Adam is showing that he can start in the league. Glidden's finally improving. Ben Moore's becoming a much better import. Yanni's doing very well in his rookie season. I mean, they got lots of depth, this team. No doubt they still win games, but it is a major loss not having the main centerpiece around the team there. But they've added Brockhoff. Hopefully he gets going and can provide a similar impact. He's not a similar player to Creek, Brockhoff, but hopefully he can provide a similar impact to that team and help them get on a roll.
Yeah, agreed.
But yeah, Ben Moore definitely needs to start, I reckon. I think you start Ben Moore now, the next couple of weeks. What do you think?
If you start Ben Moore, who do you bring off the bench to replace him and Yanni?
Dane, you got to hope Dane Pinu's ready to go, but he'll probably be on a minutes restriction. I think Brockhoff still will probably be on a minutes restriction. I don't think Gibbo really needs to come back now that Liaifa's absolutely balling. I don't think Gibbo's major difference on the court, but keep Sykes.
Yep.
I think he's still got a couple of weeks away. But
I think it's a week away. But Kendall Stevens has to step up for big Kendall.
Yeah, Stevens. He's definitely got to have to step up off the bench. He's going to be getting a lot more minutes. I think they're, I don't know, do they start Terang, do they start Brockhoff, or do they start Moore, or do they start Stevens? It's one of those three, I think. unless they go real small ball and start Liaifa as we've added them. But
they could do that. I don't see that not happening. That could happen.
Yeah, it'd be real small ball, but
although Kyle, they are Cam.
I think next game they really need Pinning to come back, even if it's a like a 15 or 20 minute restriction. I think they really need him
good
back.
The thing is, when they play Adelaide, these are lines that come through. So there's only just Daniel Johnson to worry about in the tall market.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's get into the major signings of the week. I don't think we've seen a bigger mid-season kind of swaps and signings in a while, Aiden.
I've seen it from the time I followed the NBL, so.
Yeah, it's awesome to see the NBL. Normally this happens all the time in the NBA, but the break is it's clearly not having a good way to start the season, second bottom on the ladder. And they've made adjustments. To be fair to them, they've made a lot of adjustments. They've Rob Lowe been out for a while, probably the rest of the season, flying back to New Zealand. They signed Will McDowell-White. If you don't know, Will McDowell-White did start off his career at Sydney Kings as a DP, obviously a local and Aussie guard, 6'5" point guard. Yep. He's played in the G League. He's played in Germany before the G League, but last 2 years he's played in the US, played Summer League for the Rockets. He's been close to getting a two-way contract with the Rockets. I think he got a Exhibit 10 deal this season, but obviously that led to him just signing on the G League side. So he's definitely match fit, fit than Ford Maker and Jannar Bolden, I'll tell you what. But he averaged three points in that G League bubble just a couple weeks ago. Last week it ended, actually. So, I'm really interested to see what impact he has on the NBL. I mean, obviously, he's declined multiple NBL offers, obviously, at the start of the season. Someone else said that Melbourne United and Brisbane tried to offer him a contract right now. He declined that. He decided to sign with the Breakers, which is quite interesting.
I don't know how he fit in Melbourne United, to be honest.
Yeah.
Shetland, Golding, McCarron, where are they going to put him?
Yeah, I think it would have been better if McDowell-White started off the season in the NBL. But, he's only 22 years old. He's still trying to make the NBA. I think it's good to have him in the NBL now. Obviously, the G League is finished. He's got nowhere else really to play. And he wants to get in the NBA. He's got to prove himself. But with Breakers making this signing as a guard instead of a big to replace Lowe, it makes me feel like Webster's got to be out for a while. So,
4 weeks wasn't it not reported?
Yeah, at least three with a leg injury. I can't remember, but... interesting to see what unfolds there. They also signed, along with Will McDowell-White, they signed Jeremy Kendall as an injury replacement for Lamar Patterson at the time. Good to see Jeremy Kendall still playing, getting another contract. Obviously, we saw him with the 36ers throughout the NBL Cup. Soon as he got released, a couple of days after, the Breakers snapped him up. I'm just waiting for him to get citizenship. I mean, everyone's wanting Con to get citizenship. I want Kendall to get citizenship because I want him to get a main deal. I want him to find a permanent home as a player, and he's just getting tossed around like a bag of salad, mate.
Bag of salad. Well, Will McDowell-White and Brokers is also, you know, he's coming down to the NBL because who's coaching the Olympic squad? Brian Gorshin, you know, just saying.
Yeah, that's right. But, on Kendall, on the other hand, how does he fit into the Breakers? They've got so many guards at the moment until their new import arrives. We'll get to in a minute, but their guard situation, what do you feel about that? Weeks, Ty Webster, Will McDowell-White. Obviously, McDowell-White comes in 2 weeks' time, and Kendall.
Well, I think Kendall's only there because Lamar was injured, but now Lamar's been released, and he's just replacing, well, he's not replacing, he's just taking time for Levi Randolph.
Yeah,
at this moment, but
and McDowell-White as well. I think be interesting to see where McDowell-White plays. Does he play at the two? Does he play at the one?
Or even the three?
Even the three? Yeah. He's 6'5", so he could play that spot. But obviously, we saw Monday morning lots of huge announcements. We saw Emiliano Garcia announced early in the morning that the Breakers signed Levi Randolph, American import, who also just finished up in the G League bubble, playing with the Cleveland Cavaliers affiliate side. He averaged 12 points there, so he seems like a solid player. And obviously, to sign him, they had to make way and get rid of Patterson. Was it the right move to get rid of Patterson?
It wasn't going well with him in New Zealand, and they both probably in hindsight he was really underdone.
Yeah, I think it was a unanimous decision
Well, it was a mutual agreement, so let's say both agreed that it wasn't a fit.
Yeah,
but I feel like Lamar would have been good for the younger players.
Yeah, if there was a poll on the Breakers website saying, should we get rid of Patterson? I'm sure 100% would say yes. It was the right move. He clearly wasn't fitting in the side. And he clearly wasn't fit as well at the start of the season. He's going to be injured the next few weeks. By the time he comes back, Randolph may arrive. So, I think good to make adjustments now. Obviously, it wasn't working, and the Breakers have made the right decision here. I'm interested to see what Levi Randolph provides to the Breakers squad. I'm thinking they need more defense, though. Obviously, they got their Ty Webster and Corey Webster backcourt, but I think they need a bit more defense on the wings. So hopefully, he can provide that Levi Randolph. Haven't seen too much of him, honestly. So,
well, fit Lamar would have been fine with the New Zealand team. He would have fitted well. He would have sort of well right at three, and then Ty, Corey, and Lamar. But it was not to be.
Obviously, a few minutes later, we saw the Bullets, Organ Ulick report that the Brisbane Bullets were parting ways with Orlando Johnson. And that's when I thought, you know what? Lamar Patterson could be coming back to the Bullets. So I post that. I say, could Lamar Patterson be coming to the Bullets? Press share. Oh, look at this. Organ Ulick tweets again. The Brisbane Bullets have signed Lamar Patterson. Absolutely crazy Monday morning. But, wow.
Monday madness.
Monday madness indeed. I mean, he was unbelievable to see Lamar Patterson returning to the Bullets. What are your thoughts on that, Aiden?
Well, he's injured at the moment.
Yeah.
I would have kept Orlando till he's fit, to be honest.
Mm.
But because Orlando was coming to form, but
yeah, I mean the Bullets were doing well. I mean they sat third on the NBL Cup table. They're in the top four at the moment on the main ladder. So Johnson was starting to fit in a bit, but I did read that they were definitely looking to get rid of Johnson since mid-February. And obviously they couldn't find someone. And as soon as Patterson was available, I guess they snatched him up. But it's the best situation for Patterson. I think it's a win for Patterson. He's getting back to his old club that he was performing well at. He knows the system better. He plays better under Lamanis. You probably have more fun, more enjoyment playing with them than the Breakers. But it's just, is it the right move for the Bullets?
He needs to come off the bench. He needs to come off the bench. He's not starting. I know he's important, but he's not starting.
Liam Santamaria made a really good point on overtime last night, is that the floor for Patterson is Orlando Johnson right now. I think when Patterson comes to the Bullets, I think the worst he can be is how Orlando Johnson was to start off the season. But the ceiling for Patterson could be, MVP form like last season, where Johnson obviously is not going to be anywhere close to that MVP trophy this season. So obviously it's a huge risk, high reward scenario, but I think, man, it takes away some points from Sobey. Sobey's having a sensational season, could win MVP if not for Cotton. But interesting to see how Sobey, Patterson, Vic Law work together. But if who knows if they all work, if that trio just connects well, that could be a very deadly team. I tell you what, Aiden.
Well, I've got a question for you. Now that Orlando's free in the market, I don't think he's gone home. I don't think he's left to Brisbane. I think he's still in Melbourne. Now, Hobson's still injured. Jack White's still injured. Do they get rid of Dylan Stipe as their injury replacement and sign Orlando Johnson?
Yeah.
So I can see him fitting well in Melbourne. Thinking.
Yeah, well, firstly, I definitely think Johnson should be staying in Australia while he's here, unless he gets a deal over in Europe or something. Because if he's staying in Australia and someone goes down injured, someone's got to pick him up for at least a couple of weeks. We've seen with Jeremy Kendall, he's been snapped up by two teams already just because uh, he's, he's the only the best available import in Australia. So if Johnson stays here, I think team you eventually get a deal, no matter what. But I don't know if he if United get him at the moment. I don't know how close Hobson is to coming back, or Jack White. But yeah, it'd definitely be an upgrade to Dylan Stif. Dylan Stif hasn't provided much for United, but I don't know if United would go for him. It just depends. It just depends how long Hobson's out for. If Hobson's out for at least 2 or 3 weeks, at least 3 weeks, I would probably get him. But if it's another week or maximum two, I'll just wait. But
yep,
I think United, on another point, I think they still need a second import. I think they need maybe replace Sam McDaniel with a more of a scorer, either at the guard position or I don't know what position. I feel like they got a good rotation. McDaniel hasn't I just think they need another import. I just don't know where they need it.
You know, I think it'll be 2 or 3 import. Kind of like, that's why I brought Orlando Johnson to the table, because I'm not saying he's a good player.
Yeah, maybe even Johnson for the rest of the season as a backup small forward for Hobson.
Yeah.
Isn't a bad idea, but yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, United's lost the last couple of games. We'll see if they bring in another import, but they have to get rid of someone to sign one. But let's move on to the NBL Cup. Was the NBL Cup successful, Aiden? And what adjustments should be made to make it even more successful?
As a worker, I think we need, you know, have different venues, just have more games at the SBC. But I know we can't bring a crowd. But why did they end on a day with Perth and Adelaide? Like, nothing against Perth or Adelaide, but you need two Melbourne teams playing on the same day. But there was no crowd on that last day. There was a crowd in for the first game, but the second game, they were like kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not blaming it. All Larry, Jeremy, you did a great job. You're listening. I don't know if you are, but if you are, fine. They did a good job. It was a good cup, and I feel like it ran smoothly. There was a few hiccups along the way, but I liked it. I liked the concept of it.
Do you think was it too long?
No, because everything's playing each other once. They had to, but
yeah.
I'm glad there was a gap between rounds, let's just say that, because I could not do back-to-back days. There was no way I would get up back-to-back days.
Yeah, I think I honestly thought it was too long. I mean, obviously they had to play each other once, but what everyone else is suggesting, now that they can make adjustments for the future, I think they should split it into like 3 separate parts. So obviously the Jack Jumpers will be in the league next season, so there'll be 9 games to play. So say 1 week... say between round 4 or 5, you play 3 games there in the cup somewhere other than Melbourne would be cool to see.
No, Melbourne's a place it's going to be. You know,
yeah, but we want to see other places as well. It'd be good to see Sydney host something for once. And then say round 10 or 11, we see the other 3 games, and then round 15, 16, we see the other 3 rounds, kind of like that. I think that would work better. Kind of like how they do it in the soccer, like the Champions League, and even in basketball, I'm pretty sure the cups over there, they run it all separately. They don't all run it in one go. I think they'll make it better. Also, find a way to put an All-Star game in there. That's what the people are wanting, and I think they're definitely considering it now.
Well, you got a mention, didn't you, Evan, on Peter Hooley?
Got a mention on the broadcast. Peter Hooley says... someone made a mock on Twitter. That was me, Peter Hooley, if you're listening, NBL News. But, yeah, lots of people have been suggesting that there should be an All-Star Weekend. Obviously, Larry Kesselman saw my post about the All-Star concept. So, obviously, they're taking note, and a lot of fans want to see it. I think it would be really, really good for the league.
The question will be how much it costs and how many volunteers you can get.
Yeah, if players want to play in the game, it's all about players want to play in the game. I think a dunk contest, 3-point contest, that's easy. You know, it doesn't require much from the players. But All-Star game is where it gets tough. Anyway, we saw the Perth Wildcats champions once again, another trophy. to their thing. But do you think that they should have an MVP for the NBL Cup as well?
No, not to be honest.
No?
Everyone's playing so well. If it was a grand final series, maybe, but no.
Really?
Maybe
you're the first person, you're actually the first person I've heard that say there shouldn't be an MVP for the NBL Cup.
No, like if it was a final series, maybe, but I don't say there should be. It's just a cup. Like, you know, you should have like a prize, like most improved drink cup. That's fine. But MVP, why give one now if you're going to probably win one later on? That's just my bit. Like,
that's fair enough.
Because they're so close together. I think, like, the way this season started and everything, it's hard to, you know, because so many injuries. You can't, the season would be finished by now because footy is the best start.
Yeah.
So, if they're doing it between New Year's and Christmas, that for the cup, that would actually work well, because actually Christmas, because it's cool holidays. You will bring a crowd. No, yeah, exactly. Around the summer holidays, you bring a crowd. Like, I know the season started in January, but.
Yeah, but you're the first person to say it shouldn't be MVP, which surprised me. Well, but
I wouldn't be against the idea, but I don't think we should have one.
Yeah.
It's a nine game, you're playing each other once. There's no grand final. Like, it's not.
It's fair enough.
If you're doing an MVP, you got to do it like the Brownlow setup. You got to have it 3 votes for non-bias.
Yeah, I think the Perth fans were kind of upset about how the presentation was for the cup, but I mean, what can you do? But I was going to ask, if there was an MVP for the tournament, who would you have, Nathan Sobey or Bryce Cotton?
I'm going to give you a surprise one. Those two are fine. I'm not saying that they shouldn't win. Maybe Kyle Adam. He was good during the cup.
Yeah, but for it, come on, MVP. It's either Sobey or Cotton. It's no one else. All right, I know you want to chuck in a dark horse and everything, but it's Sobey or Cotton.
You know what? It's John Mooney.
It's not. Yeah, I know John Mooney's good, but... Sobey or Cotton, it's no one else. All right, I don't want you checking in dark horse. There is literally no one else.
Cotton. There you go. You happy? You got your
Cotton. Yeah, I'm happy now. I got the answer I wanted.
Who was your most improved during that whole cup or surprise?
Most improved or MVP?
No, just surprised. I know you want to go Cotton.
Surprised. Surprised. I'm gonna go with I wouldn't say from surprise, but I would say kind of like an improved player, kind of out of nowhere, is Liafa. He really stepped up with the absence of Keeper Sykes and Gibbo. He had a 15-point game as a DP. And he, as I said, he's definitely proven himself that he can be a true contract player, a true 10-man rotational player in the league.
He would fit well at LA right now, backing up Josh Giddey. He's better than when
he would fit on any NBL roster as a backup PG.
Yeah, but the thing is, Adelaide doesn't, in my opinion, Tees is a bit old. Dylan's a bit old.
When John he's young, as I said, he's a DP. You know, I'd be surprised. I was honestly surprised he wasn't signed as a contract player this year after he played defensive. He won Defensive Player of the Year with Jared Kenny in the New Zealand NBL. And he still averaged 20 points, almost 20 points per game in that same season. So, I mean, he's definitely a player for the future. Next, Jared Kenny. I already think he's better than Jared Kenny, in my opinion. You know,
he'll be great for this New Zealand international team. Him, Yanni, exactly. Jesus, this team is going to...
He's got to be a real good... You know, long veteran NBL player. I can just see it. And if I was the Jack Jumpers, or if I was any NBL team, I would be snapping him up on a multi-year deal right now. I would be on the phone to his agent, and trying to get him on a multi-year deal. Or if I was Phoenix, I'd be getting him to replace Gibbo when Gibbo goes to the Jack Jumpers.
Calm down. That hasn't been said. You just claim it that this isn't confirmed. Just remind people this isn't. Gibber has not signed, but it's more. I agree with evidence. Most likely he's coming home, Tassie, but we don't know yet. So he might retire. Who knows? Just keep it out there.
The team. Let's move into the team that is cold at the moment, and that is obviously the Cairns Taipans. I mean, the Breakers. They obviously second last on the ladder. They decided to make adjustments. They went to sign McDowell Wyatt, which was
what Cairns should have signed him.
Yeah, Cairns should have signed them. They didn't. You know, Majok Deng's gone. They signed an injury replacement. They signed They signed Tad Dulfermeyer, who was a development player for them last year, and he's been training with them this season. And he's a 6 foot point guard. It's like I think he's got a couple minutes and that's it. But, you know, it's, they've won two games this season, I think. Is it two games?
I think so.
They haven't won many games this season. They won two games in the NBL Cup. I think they won four games overall. But they're bottom of the ladder. They're just, there's just nothing going for them. I mean, other than Machado and Oliver, there's nothing on that list. I mean, King is finally, you know, he's finally getting an opportunity to prove himself. He's had a couple of big games. And that's what Mike Kelly has to do with the rest of the season. Start Mojave King. It's time to give him over 20 minutes per game, because obviously you're not going to make finals playing the way you're playing right now. You might as well give King 30 minutes for the rest of the season. Breeze draft stock back. Right now he's not in the top 60. Make him get into draft stock again. Get him into mock drafts again. And sign someone. You know, every other team's signing injury replacements. Cairns have done absolutely nothing, and they need something. Otherwise, otherwise their season's over. Their season's already over. Because they've already made the mistake of not signing anyone during the as soon as Majok Deng went down.
Jordan Naito was a good. When he started the game against Illawarra, the first game of the Cup, he got 17 points, 4 rebounds, and a few, 1 assist. But the thing was, he looked good, and then he never started again. I don't know what happened, but I thought, you know what, Cairns might be back in it after they beat Illawarra.
Yeah. I think they also, when they played Melbourne, Naito played well. Vague memory, but.
2 points.
I think that was the game Majok Deng was got injured. It was against Melbourne.
You sure? Got 2 points that game.
But that was the game Majok Deng got injured. But Cairns did all right in that game. I mean, people are forgetting how good Majok Deng is. I think he's the most underrated player in the league. But
Court Noy disappeared.
I thought you got to step up. I mean, we talked about it like a few weeks ago now. As soon as Majok Deng went down, obviously we needed Kyuat Noy to step up. He just hasn't, and he's not looking.
Yeah, one good game. It was against the United game when you think Majok Deng went down, 27 points.
Yeah, they just don't have that. The locals have been pretty ordinary this season. And they, as I said, they need to make an adjustment. Could we see Mike Kelly gets sacked? I know he won Coach of the Year last year, but could this be the end? Like, could be last season for him? Or
I don't want it to be. He's a good coach. He's great to talk to pregame, but
yeah, they just needed a sign.
I don't think it's him. I think it's the players on my
team. Yeah, I've heard that the chemistry isn't working well either. So, yeah, it's definitely but something.
Mike Kelly seems like he knows what he's doing. He won coaches. He knows what he's doing. Like, well, I would assume he knows what he's doing. But
people could have said it since round one. They're missing DJ Newble, but
Mahavo was good in preseason. It was preseason, but
When the Breakers signed McDowell White, you gotta push for him, and you gotta push for other guys that have finished at G League. You know.
They should
make an import replacement, but they got Cam Oliver Machado. Like, they can't really make an import. The problem is their locals. They just got no talent. I wouldn't say no talent, but just no boost from their locals.
Mirko Jerick's the only one I can keep the pass mark so far. Mirko Jerick was all right.
Him's not having an incredible season. But
yeah, but he's probably one of the best out of all the locals there right now.
Yeah.
Maybe Jawai, but Jawai comes off the bench and gets foul trouble easy.
Yeah.
Brandon Paul.
Yeah.
That was good. His first game.
25 points. I said he's got to lead the league in scoring. He's now second in the league. Second in the league in scoring. He's 0.2 behind Bryce Cotton. But, he's definitely got to help the 36ers make a. So many games to go. That's why I'm saying Cairns need to make an adjustment now. Otherwise, that's it for them. But
don't forget, Brandon Paul came off the bench and he got 25 points. Like,
yeah, he came off the bench. He's had 2 week quarantine, and he came on new team, probably knew no one on the team. dropped 25, and he had like 16 in the first half. I mean, he was sensational. He was the reason they were up by 21 points, over 20 points in the first half. And then at the start of the third, he didn't get many minutes. Look what happened. They went on a 19-0 run, I believe, the Wildcats. And then they ended up winning that game. So,
you know what, they overdrew. That's what happened.
I
didn't see the first 5 minutes, so I don't know what happened. I came back to my seat and then I saw the score and I'm like, how did this happen?
Yeah, I mean, the 36ers, I think they're... Wait for Humphreys to get back, and I think when Paul gets in the rhythm, just wait a couple of games, Humphreys and they've got to go on that win streak with a five of Giddy, Paul, Crocker, or Sunday Deck. I'd rather have Sunday Deck in that five, Daniel Johnson and Humphreys. I think that five, once they all come back, give them a couple of weeks' time, they can make a real push.
Yep.
For the finals. I mean, Paul is a really good addition. You reckon he's better than Donald Sloan added?
Well, if he's going to take my boys off the bench, I think he's better than Sloan and better than Keith Benson. And Keith Benson was a...
Anyway, all right. Let's not make fun of players. Let's get into our fantasy teams. From the last week, I scored 938 points, ranked 667 in the round. Now ranked 603 overall. Had Ty Webster as captain. I wish I had Colton Iverson as captain. I brought him in this week and he... was amazing, 153 points for him. This week, my trades, pretty.
Hey, what's your overall rank?
I said was 603. But my trades this week, I traded Vic Law because the Bullets are playing once. I traded him for Landell, who's playing twice the next couple of weeks. And then I also got rid of... someone for Blanchfield. Who did I get rid of? Yanni Wetzel. That's right. I got rid of Yanni Wetzel. Yeah, because Phoenix play one time in 2 weeks. Well, they play once in the two rounds. So, and I already had Turangi and Brockhoff, so I needed to get rid of the Phoenix players. And if Pinu comes back, I think Wetzel will get less minutes. I got Blanchfield. There's not many good small forwards out there on the fantasy market at the moment. I think Blanchfield is the best one to get, surprisingly. So what about you, Aiden?
Well, my score this week was 1,002. I don't remember scoring that. Okay, 1,002. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then my overall rank is 622. I'm catching up to you. You've been able to get out.
But you're 602.
622.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, you're 603. I'm coming at you.
Yeah, okay.
My trades, I sadly had to trade Mitch Creek to Todd Blanchfield.
Yeah.
The most underrated small forward running out. I'm on the Blanchfield.
Underrated? Train. Yeah.
Drew Meek with Casper Ware.
Drew Meek with Casper Ware. Yeah. Casper Ware's having a good season.
I got Casper Ware for Drew Meek. So you know what I mean.
I think Casper Ware's underrated. People are not respecting how good Casper Ware is at the moment. But anyway, that will do for another week of the NBL News podcast. Hope you enjoyed. And I'll see you guys next time.